Still morning. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Praise God. Shall we turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Reading verse 3. 1 Thessalonians, New American Standards Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Chapter 5, next chapter. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we humbly bow in your presence, and we thank you, O God, for the time we spent in your presence, remembering our blessed Lord, whom you've sent to save sinners like us, O God. Thank you, O God, for your plan of salvation. Thank you for the blessed hope we have because he is risen. And Father, as your word goes forth, we pray, O God, that you would speak through me and to your saints. And if anyone here that knows not the Lord, we pray that they would be convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And we will not harden their hearts, but believe on the Lord Jesus before it's forever too late. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to thank the leadership for the opportunity to present the word. When I heard Brother Money, before he read the notices, started speaking, I said, man, that's the whole message. There's nothing else for me to say now. The will of God, and that's what the message will be on today. 2023, wow, went by so fast. Represents another year God has spared our lives or preserved us. Some, as we heard, didn't make it to 2024. And some here, or perhaps some listening, may not even make it to 2024. We only have now. And typically this time of the year, well, we tend to look back. I was looking at some of these year-end reviews, you know, and everyone is looking back of what they've accomplished, you know, nations and you know, companies. But we as individuals tend to look back at what we have done, right, with God's time that he's given us, whether we did good or we did bad, for his glory or for ours. But no matter what you've done, whether openly, privately, God is seeing everything, and he knows all things. And one day he's going to call, especially for the believers now I'm talking about, to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. 2023 also represents the 105th anniversary of Good Tidings. Praise the Lord. And 2 weeks ago, we had our anniversary here. And we heard that good report from the 100th anniversary of what the brethren did during that period of time. We heard of their faith, their labor of love. And then we saw what, you know, as those who followed along imitated God and imitated them, we saw that they did the will of God and they glorified God, leaving us an example for after 105 years. So we have this good report. So the question is, are we doing the will of God? We do a lot of things. We get involved in a lot of activities. But are we doing God's will? And this is what Paul is addressing to this church, this young church. Paul and Timothy and Silas or Silvanus. They're writing a letter of exhortation and some instructions. These saints, they received God's word and their fame went abroad. Macedonia, Berea, all over, saints knew about their faith in God and their love for the saints. They continued faithfully. And Paul says, Paul gives them instructions now on how they should live. And even though they had accomplished all these things, he says, we want you to excel. We want you to get even better. 105 years, God has done great things here in Good Tidings. So many ministries, so many lives being saved, so many families being touched. But God says, excel even more. Excel. And they imitated the apostles, the Thessalonians, and the Lord. But he's constantly exhorting them to excel. Paul was so concerned that he says, I'm fearful that the tempter would come and tempt you. The same tempter that tempted the first Adam, and he was successful. That's why we're here today, because sin has entered the world. And the same tempter that tempted the last Adam, but failed. And we know who the last Adam is, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is exalted, as we've been hearing in the songs, right? As we worship the Lamb that was slain, but now is alive and alive forevermore, and is one day coming again. Hallelujah. So we want to look with fresh eyes this morning at the exhortation and the instructions to these saints. But before we do that, we must understand what the will of God is. You know, we've heard that term. But what is the will of God? And Paul in Ephesians 5 and 17 tell us to do that. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of God is. So let's understand what the will of God is from the Word of God. And I'm going to have the Word of God answer these questions. That's the best place to get the answers, right? John 6:38. What is the will of God? Jesus there speaking, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus was obedient even though he was absent from the presence of God. And what do I mean by that? He says there, God sent him. God sent me. So Jesus was not in the presence of God in heaven, but he was here on earth as the God-man. But yet still, he was obedient. And he says, not my will, but your will be done. An example of this is when Jesus was a child. Remember when they went to Jerusalem for the Passover? Now they were coming home and they couldn't find Jesus. Right? One day passed, couldn't find him. Mary and Joseph. And so they went back and they were looking for him. And 2 days later they found him. And he was with the doctors and the scribes. And there he was asking questions and answering questions, and they were amazed. And this child, about 12 years old, could have this much wisdom. And Mary came to him and says, didn't you know we were sick? We were anxious. We were worried for you. And I'm just using paraphrase there. But they were nervous, couldn't find him. And Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. As a little child. Luke 22:42 also tells us in Gethsemane, and we hear this often on the Lord's Day, Jesus says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So we have this pattern of Jesus surrendering his will for God's. The will of God is the surrendering of our will for his will. Our way for his way. What is not the will of God, though? What it is not, as we continue to understand. The will of God is not about anything that leads to death. And what do I mean by that? Matthew 18 and verse 14. Jesus speaking to the lost sheep. And he says, so it is not the will of God, not the will of your Father who is in heaven, that one of these should perish. God is not about, God doesn't offer death, but rather life. He often said in the Old Testament, choose life. John 3:16 bears this out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish is death, and that is not just death in the grave, but that is the second death. But that they should have life, eternal life. John 10:10, the same thing. Jesus says the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy death. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In him, the Bible says, is life. And his life is the life of all men, John 1. And even more than that, John 17 tells us that the Father gave him, the Lord Jesus, the authority to give to anyone eternal life as to whomsoever he pleases. So it's not just life, but eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the will of God is not about death. It is about life. And who are we doing it for? We do a lot of things. Who are we doing it for? Jesus said in John 4:34, this is when he met the woman at the well and the disciples came and met him. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. The will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. We do the will of God for the glory of God, not for ourselves. For whose pleasure are we doing it? John 8:29. And he said, and he who sent me is with me, Jesus speaking. He has not left me alone. Remember, God sent him, and God being a spirit, he is with Jesus. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Even so that when we see Jesus, we see the Father. Because he's always doing the things that pleases the Father. And we are to imitate the Lord Jesus, doing those things that pleases God. And then lastly, as we understand the will of God, when should we do his will? John 9:4. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. When Jesus was with the disciples, they worked. And they were amazed that even the evil spirits were subject to them. When Jesus was taken and he returned to the Father, between that time and Pentecost, they didn't do anything, but they waited for instructions. And then the Holy Ghost came upon them and they worked. They received power and they became his witnesses. And that same Holy Spirit that they received, we have today. So we work while it is still day. We are not saints of the night, but of the day. And so we work. Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. So we've got a little understanding of what the will of God is. Surrendering our will for his. So how did Paul and Timothy and them use this understanding to instruct this church of Thessalonica? So we go to our passage now. First, they started with sanctification. And this is not positional sanctification when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, set apart for God, justified, cleansed and justified, but this is progressive sanctification where God is conforming us to the image of Christ. This is spiritual growth onto holiness. So he instructs them to walk and to please, how to walk and to please God. And there are five things I noticed there in that passage. So 1 Thessalonians 4, starting with verse 3, says, abstain, that you abstain from sexual immorality. But he goes on in chapter 5 and 22, and he says, abstain from every form or appearance of evil. It is not just sexual immorality. This is what was going on then, and he was dealing with that issue. But he makes it even clearer that it's every form of evil. Because we shall be holy even as God is holy. We look around us and there's evil everywhere. There's darkness. How are we keeping ourselves pure? So purity, one aspect of sanctification. Then self-control in verse 4 and 5. He says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God. And this is where we were, Gentiles, and we did everything that pleased ourselves. And then in verse 6, we see godly fear, that no man should transgress or defraud his brother in this manner of sexual immorality, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things. God is going to bring it into account, and he's going to deal with sin. He must, because he is holy, and he's a righteous God. Hebrews 10 and 31 said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God takes any form of immorality serious, and he must deal with it, especially in the body of Christ. The fourth thing I see there is obedience to God's calling. Obedience to God's calling. In verse 7, it says, for God has not called us to for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification, that we be set apart. We be different from the world. We must be different because we are in Christ. And we are being conformed to his image. And then the last but not least in that sanctification, it's Paul is showing them, is teaching them here of receiving the word. So this is verse 8. He said, he who rejects, this is not rejecting man who gives, he's not rejecting man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit. These saints, they receive the word gladly. And they acted upon the word of God, and it was heard of their faith and their love. But those who rejected, God is going to deal with them. And that's what the Apostle Paul is warning them from. And he even says, anyone that rejects this word, don't even associate with them so that they'll be ashamed. But still remember them as a brother or sister. And you want to bring them to correction. So we summarize this now with sanctification. Paul gives a very vivid description about sexual immorality, and I want to stay on this a little bit so we don't miss it. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm just going to read a few verses there. It's verse 13 and then verse 18 through 20. Listen to what Paul says about immorality. He says, yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. We have the Lord through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He says in verse 18, flee immorality. Don't take it for granted. Every other sin man commits is outside the body, but immorality But the immoral man sins against his own body. Wow. Or do you not know that the body, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The same Spirit God gave us through Jesus Christ, who is sanctifying us, that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. And he goes on to say, whom you have from God, that you are not your own. We hear that today. It's my body. I can do what I want to do with it. As believers, we are bought with a price, right? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify who? God. And notice there he says, glorify God with your body, in your body, is what you're doing in the body. He warns us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 again. He says, we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things they have done where? In the body. In the body. God, even though this body is perishing, God is taking serious what we're doing in this body, because we're the temple of God. And then going on to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, after he speaks on sanctification, he mentions three other things there in 2 Corinthians 5. Starting from verse 16, he says, rejoice always. So now that you've dealt with sin, now rejoice. Now, it's very important to note, these saints were being persecuted. They were being persecuted, not from the Gentiles, but guess what? From the Jews, their own brethren. Paul was being persecuted. They had to send Paul to Berea. And then when he got to Berea, they had to send him again to Athens. So persecution was going on. And he says to them, the apostle said to them, rejoice always in all things, not just the good, but also in the bad. Not just in health, but in sickness. Rejoice always. And in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 9, Paul says, I'm not only telling you to rejoice, look what we're doing too. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy which we rejoice before God on your account? They were rejoicing also because of how God was working through the saints of Thessalonica. So he says to them, rejoice. We're rejoicing also. And then in chapter 2, verse 19, to take it even further, because the rejoicing is not just for here, but we'll see there, he says, for what? Chapter 2, verse 19, he says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? It is not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for you are our glory and joy. When the Lord shall come in the clouds, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and us who are alive and remain, there will be rejoicing. And Paul is saying, I'm going to see all of those saints that we impacted. Imagine all the saints through Sunday school, Awana, young people's, the ministry here at Good Tidings, you're seeing the saints that you had an impact. Ministries that you supported that are reaching out to the world, and saints and folks are being saved. We're seeing, and there'll be a great rejoicing. And Paul is looking to that day when he can rejoice for the fruit of their labor. So he says, rejoice. We're rejoicing too, and for that glorious day. Have we been rejoicing for 2023? Have we been rejoicing? We should. He says, pray, in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Again, they set the example. I love how Paul does this. He doesn't tell you to do anything. He doesn't tell the saints then to do anything. He is doing it too. He prayed for them. He says, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. What is that saying? Everything we do in the body to the moment, unless the Lord doesn't come and he takes us home, everything we do from the moment we die in this body, it should be counted blameless. So that when the Lord comes, he can say, well done. That's what Paul is bringing them to. Body, soul, and spirit be blameless. Everything we're doing is for the glory of God until the Lord comes or he calls us home. No opportunity for us to slack off. God expects us to do his will until he comes or until the Lord takes us home. He also prayed for their labor of love, their patience of hope, and that they may increase and abound in love to one another and to all. These are all the things that was happening to these saints. And Paul was praying that they do more. So whatever you're doing now, saints, God is saying to us this morning, more. Excel even more. And how can we do that? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to do the will of God for the glory of God. Patience of hope he prayed for, and that they increase and abound. Always abounding. And then lastly, out of those three, he says, in everything, give thanks. And this is sort of similar to rejoicing, right? Give thanks in everything. In everything, give thanks. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, he says, we ought or are bound always to give thanks to God for you, as it is fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and love to each other toward one another grows even greater. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Be thankful in everything. Give God thanks in everything. We're thanking God too. As Paul wrote these letters and they were going abroad, all the saints, all the churches of God heard about the Thessalonians and what they have done. And we see there that they were thankful. They were thankful for them, how God was working. He adds to that instruction, he says, don't quench the spirit. The very spirit of God is who empowers you. Don't despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything. This is from verse 19 to 20 of chapter 5. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to what is good. This is what the Bereans did that Paul went to. Those guys, they received the word. They didn't act right away, but they searched the scriptures first. And then they acted on God's word. It was said that the word of God tells us that they were more noble than the Thessalonians, not superior in any way, because they always searched the scriptures. The Thessalonians received the word and they acted on it because they received it gladly and God worked in their midst. May we not quench the spirit for 2024, but we would receive the word, we would examine the word. We've been doing that on Tuesday nights over and over. If you haven't been there, you missed out. We've been in the word of God, examining it carefully. And finally, as I sort of wrap this up, Paul gives them, he speaks to them about sanctification, praising God, purity, holiness. God is speaking to us today at Good Tidings, 105 years. I wonder if Paul was to speak to us now, what would he say? And I thought of one thing he might say from Romans 12, 1 and 2. Right? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God as your reasonable service of worship. But look at verse 2 now. He says, and don't be conformed to this world. Look at what's going on in the world. The world is trying to squeeze us into that mold. Right? The devil has come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he is cheering on that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the word of God, so that you may do what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Why good, acceptable, and perfect? Because this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that good, an acceptable and perfect sacrifice, that God was well pleased with his sacrifice, that he raised him from the dead on the third day, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are we doing the will of God? And then lastly, for those who are here, you've rejected the word of God over and over. John gives a warning to you concerning this very will of God. John 2:16-17, he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world." It is not the will of God. The world is passing away, and all those, and also its lusts. God is going to bring into account all the things that we have done. And those who have rejected his word, you're not going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No, that's only for believers who have been washed, who have been justified, who have been sanctified, and one day will be glorified. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. The one who does the will of God lives forever. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved. And you will escape God's wrath to come, which is upon you right now. God is not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. Regardless of what you've done in the past, today he can cleanse you, he can wash you, and make you whole. And you'll be a child of God. And we pray that if there's one today that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, they would come to know him before it's too late. And for the saints of God, we have this blessed hope that one day our Lord shall come. And I think it's fitting that I just read that passage. "For this we say to you," this is 1 Thessalonians 4:15. "For this we say to you, the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have gone asleep." We heard of our brother earlier today. And so many stalwart men and women of God has gone home. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord, together in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and there will be a day of rejoicing, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, let us comfort one another in this." God bless you and keep you for his name's sake.